Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the last session slot of the day. My name's Martin Booth. I'm a technical product manager. I work in the server and tools group within Microsoft. I'm based out of the Redmond campus. My particular area of focus is client management, both the on-premises management via Configuration Manager and the cloud-based device management through Windows Intune. So I've got a session here that's the Windows Intune overview, and I'm going to take you through the aspects of our cloud management platform, what it is, what scenarios it's appropriate for, what you can do with it, and I've got a bunch of demos so I can show you the platform in action. I am conscious that I'm the last person of the day between you and the RC experts, which no doubt will have some drinkies and some food, so hopefully I'll keep this fairly fast moving, and hopefully have some time at the end for any questions that you have. So I'm going to go through Intune, what it actually is, and in particular how it compares to Configuration Manager and where the two work together and where you'd use one rather than the other. And then I'll take you through the PC management capabilities of Windows Intune. We'll look at the end user experience, what they see on the PC, and then we'll delve into the mobile device side. So looking at the platforms we support for device management of the cellular tablet devices, including the user experience on those as well. And then we'll look at common things like settings and inventory, the kind of stuff you want to do when you're actually managing these devices. And then finally finish on the corporate data protection side. How do we make sure that any data that lands on these devices is secured if the device is lost or if it's being reused or if the employee leaves the company? So I'm sure some of you will have seen these slides if you've been in any of the other sessions around access and information protection or client management. At Microsoft, we're really taking the approach that this is about the people-centric approach to IT. For a long time, device management, client management, access has all revolved around the devices, the PCs. We're going to lock down and secure PCs in this way. We're going to have a very set way of managing our devices, a limited choice of devices that are going to be very prescribed by the enterprise. What we're seeing now is more of a twist towards enabling the users to do what they want to do. So we have all these users out there, and as has been mentioned by a number of our execs, that a lot of people entering the workforce now are expecting to be able to choose their own device or bring their own device into the environment. It's not something that they feel they can do. It's something they feel they have a right to do. So we really want to put the user at the heart of what we're doing. The second area we look at is the devices themselves. We're very conscious that this isn't just a Microsoft world. There are other platforms out there, and we acknowledge that there's a vast number in the enterprise that we need to be able to support and manage from a Microsoft infrastructure perspective. So that huge number of devices that are out there, how do we provide a good, consistent platform for managing all these device types? The third area is around the apps. Everyone's used to hearing about apps, and there's an app for that. They can go and get things from their app store for their devices. So we need to embrace this idea and allow the users to get their applications that they need to do their business in a way that's familiar with them. So enabling corporate application stores for self-service for the users. And then finally, the data side. As I mentioned, we need to make sure the data is protected. If a device is lost, what happens to the data? How do we remove it from the devices? How do we make sure that device no longer has the corporate information on it? And making sure we're nice and secure there. So taking those four pillars, we look at really at the three sides of it, the management, the access, and the protection. I'm going to focus very heavily on the management side, but there is some protection capability that I will come on to. And there are other sessions that are looking at the access technologies, things like the web app proxy, direct access for the laptops, and things like that. So there's three things we then look at. One, enabling your end users, giving them the tools they need to do their job effectively. The second, unifying your environment, making sure that we're not creating extra overhead for IT pros who need to manage these devices. So where appropriate, integrating device management into the existing infrastructure. And then protecting the data, as I've already mentioned. So what is Windows Intune? Windows Intune is, according to our marketing blurb, a world-class cloud-based device management service. It's a cloud-based device management service, very simple. It's a service you can trust. We have various certifications that around the operations of the platform. And I think the next bullet says we actually have financially backed SLAs. So for the device management service that's operated in the cloud, we guarantee the uptime of the service there. So we have this cloud service for providing the device management capabilities, and hopefully it's a service that you can trust for your enterprise. So the common question that everyone always starts with is, well, okay, there's Windows Intune, and we know you have Configuration Manager, and Configuration Manager is owned by some 70% of enterprises in the world, so people are used to using Configuration Manager, so where does Intune actually fit into it? Well, with Service Pack 1 for Configuration Manager 2012, we introduced a connector for Windows Intune to enable the cloud-based management to coexist with Configuration Manager itself. So on the left-hand side, we see the phrase unified device management. We want to provide with Configuration Manager the ability to manage these cloud devices directly from the console of Configuration Manager. So the familiar environment that the IT pro has for managing PCs, we extend that out to the mobile devices as well. On the right-hand side, the cloud-based management solution, this is Windows Intune. You can use Windows Intune in what we call the standalone mode, with a web-based portal for the administration console. No on-premise infrastructure required, just this web portal and the cloud services behind it. But there are a couple of key differences which will kind of determine which is appropriate for your enterprise. On the left-hand side, Configuration Manager, of course, we have great scalability with Configuration Manager. We can take it up to 100,000 devices approximately. We have some customers we've worked with directly, and we've taken it up to actually about 500,000 devices in a Configuration Manager environment. But the truly supported number for most customers is 100,000 devices. So if you have a lot of clients out there you're looking to manage, Configuration Manager with Windows Intune would be the story for you. Also, if you want to do a lot of rich, deep management or have very flexible management tools, be able to do things like PowerShell scripting of the admin experience, using role-based access control to the admin experience. They're all facilities that are provided by Configuration Manager to really give that deep management capability there. Intune, on the other hand, it scales slightly smaller. I mean, we say about 7,000 devices or 4,000 users. Because it's a web-based console, there's a certain limit to what we can do within the console to make it actually usable for a large number of devices. If we go above those numbers, the admin experience gets really kind of difficult to do within a browser itself. So really, if you want that straightforward policy control, software management, application management, and health monitoring in a web console, and you're not scaling up to the tens of thousands of devices, Intune can be a very good solution for you. So how does this actually, what does this look like? Well, I mentioned we've got the web console for Windows Intune, talks to our cloud services in the Windows Intune cloud. And through that, you can manage the Windows PCs, or you can manage the devices. And the platforms we have up there for the mobile devices, we support Windows RT, Windows Phone 8, iOS, and Android devices for management through Windows Intune. On the flip side, Configuration Manager. You can kind of see the line in the middle that connects the Configuration Manager logo to Windows Intune. That's our connector that we introduced. That enables us to have this idea of on-premise management for the Windows PCs, Macs, Linux servers, those kind of traditional enterprise devices. And then we've got the cloud devices at the bottom. So it's the same set of platforms we support with Intune Standalone. We support with management through Configuration Manager as well. There is another session tomorrow. I can't remember the time, but I know I'm presenting it at some point tomorrow, where we'll dig into the Configuration Manager and Windows Intune side of things, side of policy management. There's been a couple of sessions that have covered things like the setup of that already, and there was a Configuration Manager overview session, but I'm going to delve into kind of how we actually do the management of that tomorrow. So today's session, we're going to look at the standalone Intune side of things. So the goal we have for managing PCs and devices, Brad Anderson likes to talk about the idea of managing devices where they are, so we really want to be able to reach out to these devices. And Intune provides a great solution for PCs that are perhaps outside of the work environment frequently. So if you have home-based workers or workers that are traveling a lot and these devices are internet-connected, Intune provides a great solution for that. We have a number of case studies. There's a great case study with Toyota, who in Europe have PCs within all their dealerships. Those PCs aren't actually owned by Toyota themselves. They're owned by the dealership. So Toyota can't do the deep kind of enterprise PC management they would expect of an enterprise-owned device, but they use Windows Intune to make sure these devices, which are connecting to their network, are actually in a healthy state, that they've got the right updates, the right patches, security updates, and also to deploy the Toyota applications out to them. So if you're interested in that kind of scenario, that's a good case study to go and look for. There's a list here of the kind of capabilities that we can provide with Intune, from, as I mentioned, managing the updates and distributing software through to monitoring and health of the PC. And you'll see that when I drill into the console itself. One of the key things for us is the idea of making sure this is non-intrusive management. So making sure that the end user experience is good, that it's a nice, simple way for them to enroll their devices in the environment, and then once the device is enrolled, we're not going to stamp all over it when the user's using their PC. So some of the key things we've done with Windows 8 and the last release of Intune, which came out in December, was to make sure we aligned with the Windows 8 guidance around maintenance windows and how we actually interact with the device. So things like checking whether we're on battery power or not, checking what kind of network connection we're on, whether we're on a metered network connection. Also things like making sure that if there are going to be reboots or restarts, we prompt the user appropriately. We don't do automatic reboots necessarily. So making sure we've got that slick, non-intrusive management style. So I'm going to switch straight over to demos. I'm hoping to fit as many demos as I can into this session. I do have a number of slides which have various tables of policy settings and capabilities and things like that. I'll hopefully skim over those, but they'll be in the deck so you can download them off Channel 9 and get that for reference afterwards. So let me switch over to my demos straight away. First thing I wanted to show you guys was just the Windows Intune homepage. If you go to windowsintune.com, it'll take you straight to this page, which is buried on the depths of the Microsoft.com site. But one of the key things here is that we have this try option. If I just click on that, you can see we've got the option here to go and sign up for a free 30-day trial. So if it looks like Intune is the right thing for your management needs, you can go and sign up for a trial account here. You test out all the functionality. You get your own environment to play with. 30 days, you can see if it works for you. And then if you feel it's the right thing, you can then extend that subscription out through the licensing and switch it on there. So if it does look like it piques your interest, do go and check out the trial. So the first place I wanted to go was to show you the account portal. So if I just log in with my admin credentials here and my super secret password. Timed out. Excellent. Let's try that again. So this is the account portal for Windows Intune. This is where we go to actually set up the subscription and the users and to enable the users kind of for the Intune service. If I go and click down on my users tab here, we can see I have a number of users that are synchronized. We actually use directory synchronization from AD to take the users from AD and push them up to the Windows Azure Active Directory. So all your user names can get replicated up there. I'm not using a kind of corporate environment, so I have this on Microsoft.com address, but you perhaps would have your contoso.com email address for your users there, and they could then use that to sign in to their Intune services. So they don't have to remember a separate set of credentials or a different password for getting to Intune. They can use their corporate IDs. So here's the Active Directory synchronization. I've already got mine deactivated, but if it wasn't, I could go and hit setup, and it would take me through the steps I need to do to deploy DirSync to enable my directory to synchronize up to the cloud. Once I've got my users up there, I have my subscriptions, and we can see I've got my Windows Intune subscription here. My license actually happens to be one of our internal ones, so it's 1,000 users and no cost, thankfully. Unfortunately for you guys, there is a licensing fee for the service. But from there, I can kind of see exactly what my billing is, and I can manage that all through kind of the purchase tab here. So if I'm dealing with kind of renewing this, the account portal is where I come to do that. So once my account's set up with Windows Intune, I've got my users replicated up here, the next thing I want to do is sign in to my admin portal. So let me remember my username here. So this is the Intune standalone web console. As I mentioned, if you're using Configuration Manager, you would do this all directly in the Configuration Manager console, but I'm just looking at the standalone environment here. So we can see we've got this Silverlight-based console, which gives us a nice, rich environment. We can see I've got hyperlinks here that I can click on to see all the information behind what's being shown. So things like the health results. I've got two malware instances on four computers here, so I can click through and see exactly what that's about from the console. A very simple snapshot view of what my environment looks like here. If I go down into the Groups tab, this is where we'll see my users within the admin console here. So I'll pull up my list of the demo team users, and we can see I've got my demo account here. And from there, I can go and look at the various properties of my user, including which devices I have enrolled. Now, Windows Intune licensing allows a user to enroll up to 5 devices on a single license, so every user you pay for can have multiple devices. We're finding more and more that people are having a tablet and a phone, or a PC and a phone, or a PC and a tablet and a phone. So we made the choice to go per user on our licensing there. So here we can see I've got a Windows Phone, a Surface, my iPhone that's sitting on the table here, and a Windows 8 PC, all enrolled in the environment. I can distribute software to them, I can manage them, do policy, check on the health of them and things right from here. So if I look at my Windows 8 PC and pick up the properties of it, we can go through and see exactly kind of what the health of it is like. We could click on what updates have been applied to it. It's a fairly new VM that I set up, so there's no actual updates applied at the moment. But it's going to sit and wait there, isn't it? Come on. And I can also pull back things like the inventory. So I've got a full hardware inventory that's been returned from my PC here. So you can see things like the amount of memory it's got, the processor it's running, what the disk is looking like. It's pretty detailed information there. So if you're looking at an environment where you've got people that are remote and you need to find out what exactly they're running, what they're connecting to your environment, you can get a good amount of information back here. We also have the ability to pull back inventory around the software as well, so we can see which applications are installed on the PCs and devices. So that's the inventory side of things. If I just go down to the next node in the console, we have the updates. This is where we manage updates from Windows Update. So if you want to stage the updates to the PCs and make sure that you test it before you deploy it out to your users, you can do that all through here. So if I go and look at the security updates here, this will pull back the list of security updates from Microsoft Update, and I can go through and approve or decline them as necessary. So if there's an update that I know I don't want to get out because it breaks one of my applications, I can just decline that and stop it from going out to the users that I'm managing there.
Is that filtered so you only see ones that are needed by your machine?
Sorry, I heard two questions at once. Question here.
Yeah. Is that filtered so you only see ones that are needed by your machine, or is it all of it?
So the question was, are we seeing all the updates or just the ones filtered by machine? The view I'm looking at here is all of them, but you can go through the device to see which would be applicable to a specific device. So you could pick...
But, I mean, it's all released updates or only updates that are for at least one of your machines?
It's all updates, I believe, because try to see. Yeah, we've got an XP update there, so they're all there in the catalog. There was another question. So the question was, does this affect how the client gets it from Microsoft Update directly, or is it like WSUS? Yep. This is pretty much similar functionality to WSUS. So it enables you to stage the update, approve, decline it before it goes out to the users, so the users aren't going directly to Microsoft Update to get their updates immediately. They're getting it from here. Effectively, they're still going to the cloud to get it, but they're going to this cloud rather than the Microsoft Update cloud. Okay. If I jump down to kind of the next node in the console here, we have endpoint protection. Now, we have a Windows Intune endpoint protection client. It's an anti-malware client that you can deploy out to the PCs that you're managing. It's built on the same anti-malware engine as Microsoft Security Essentials, Windows Defender, System Center Endpoint Protection. They all use the same bits under the hood, and they work closely with the Windows security, so things like Smart Screen and the other browser technologies, the things like the early launch boot detection in Windows 8. They're all kind of integrated together into this endpoint protection client. So from here, I can actually go and deploy that out to my PCs as well. So not only are they managed from an update perspective, but we can manage them from an anti-malware perspective as well. And also, you can control the definitions and how the definitions get released the same way you can control the updates. So if there's a definition that is coming out from Microsoft that you don't want to go to your clients just yet, you can decline it for now, then test it and approve it when you're ready to release it. We can also see here things like the malware status. So I can go and click on that and see exactly what malware is out there that's affected some of my PCs. I can see that I've got something called Dorkbot here, which looks really scary. But I can go and actually see which PCs in my environment have actually been affected by that piece of malware. So we can see we've got three PCs here that have that malware on it. It's actually blocked the execution of the malware, so endpoint protection on the client's seen it, blocked it, and reported it back to the console. And from here, I could actually go through and look at the properties of the PC. And when I see this, I can actually go and say, carry out something like a full scan of the PC. So if you know there's a PC out there that's reporting that it's got an issue, you can go and kick off a full scan, full virus scan, remotely from that for that PC. So moving down through the nodes, I'm going to skip over the software node because I'll come back to that on when I talk about the mobile devices because it gets really interesting when you're looking at the mobile side of things. I just want to kind of jump down to the licensing node here. This enables you to track your licensing. So for instance, if you have something like a license agreement for Office, this will actually grab that information from the volume licensing site. You give it your details, it pulls back your license information directly into here. So we can actually follow in the console what software we're licensed for and actually what's been deployed. So if I go into my agreements here, I can see various information about my agreement and edit that. Or I can actually go through to reporting. There we go, installation report, and pull back the applicable agreement. So we go for volume licensing agreements. Yep, we'll do all devices, view report. This will pull back a report of which PCs have actually installed the software. So not only can I have the inventory, but I can actually track it against my volume license usage as well. So we can... Will it tie into Office 365 licensing? I believe it will if you've got it through your normal volume license agreement because we just suck the information straight out of the volume license site. If you're doing a subscription-based approach, I don't think we do today. I'm not 100% sure on that, though. Does the inventory agent distinguish between volume license and retail? It will distinguish between the two. Okay, so that was our licensing report. The other side of reporting that we have is to be able to go through and look at things like the inventory detected software. So we can actually pull together slices of the inventory data. So if we want to see what PCs are out there that are running low on disk, we can actually pull up reports within the console here that would show us that kind of information. Can we add information to the inventory? Unfortunately, in Windows Intune, the inventory is not extensible, so we can't do that. If you're using Configuration Manager, you can do some of that stuff for the inventory, but not for Windows Intune. Yeah, another question. Can Intune do BIOS updates for Surface? No, Intune will work at the OS level and the application level for updates, so patches for Office, patches for Windows, but if it's something deep down like BIOS... but there is a slight distinction there in that the Windows update stuff we're looking at here is for the PC, it's not for Surface RT, for Windows RT. So Surface Pro, yes, if it's coming as a Windows update, we would be able to manage it and approve or decline it as necessary. So the final thing I just wanted to show in here is the client software download option. So when you've got this all set up and you want to get your PCs actually involved in this, all you need to do is just click on this link and it will download a package. You can then give that package to your users to install, or you can go and install it on their machines, or we can actually use something like group policy to push it out if you're touching the machine like that. But that's the way the user gets their PC enrolled for management in Windows Intune. They just run this package, and it walks them through a wizard to sign in, and it'll install the clients there. So let me flick over to my Windows 8 virtual machine. So I've got my Windows 8 VM here. It's actually already enrolled. If I just search for Windows Intune, we can see we've got this Windows Intune Center. So this was the main thing that was installed by that package. It's a little kind of control panel that enables you to jump to the company portal or install the company portal if it's not installed for getting software. You can also from here go and check for updates and see things like the endpoint protection. So it's just kind of a one-stop place for all things Windows Intune. Once your Intune client is installed, we have the endpoint protection client that came down as well, and I've got it enabled, so it's switched on automatically to protect my PC. And then I've got just the Intune client itself here. If I go back to the start screen itself, we can see I've got a tile here, the company portal. So this is my self-service application for my end users. If I go and launch that, it'll ask me to sign in unless it's cached the credentials when I was checking it. Come on. There we go. It's going to ask me to sign in because the credentials timed out. I'll sign in with my user account and its super secret password. And from this portal, we can get access to all the applications that have been provisioned to me, and I'll show you how we set those up in the admin console in a little bit. I can also do some self-service administration. So in the portal here, you can see the devices that I've got enrolled. So if I went and lost my iPhone, I could actually go in and select my iPhone here, and down the bottom, actually go and kick off a wipe. So if I've lost it and I want to make sure all the data's been wiped off it, as the user, I can go and do that manually. I don't have to call up my IT person, my help desk, to get them to do it. I can do it all myself directly from here.
That's not a complete system wipe, that's just a corporate,
correct? The wipe here will actually be a full factory reset on iPhone. The wipe and corporate wipe vary by platform, and I'll come on to talk about that in the data protection piece later. So if I go back to the main screen here and look at the applications we've got, I'm going to pull up my categories. These are all configurable on the console. You can say what kind of categories you want to set up for your users. But I can go and look at my apps here and things like the remote desktop client. This is actually an app that's in the Windows Store. So it's an app that I want my users to get access to, but it's actually a public app already. So if I click on the Windows Store link there, it'll take me through to the Windows Store. So if you use applications that are already public and available in the store, you can easily point your users to those applications themselves. Let me just get out of the store and back to the company portal. The other way of deploying applications is to actually have the app file and upload it to the console so it gets distributed. So if you're using your own line of business apps, and I've got an expenses example here, I can get the option to actually go and install that directly to my PC. So that will pull the application down from the Windows Intune service and install it directly on the PC. So if you have your own apps to distribute, again, quick and easy way to get your apps out to the end users. And we can see we've got the notifications coming up that that app is installing. And it'll actually come down in the background while the user goes and does other things. So the question is, can we push Windows Store apps? No. Right now, the software deployment is a pull model. The user has to go into the console and choose to install the apps, whether it's a Windows Store app or your own line of business app. We don't do push software distribution at this point with Windows Store apps. The question is, do you have to be an admin? No, to install APEX files, because they install in the user's profile, you just need, for Windows Store, you need a Windows Store or Microsoft ID account. But for the line of business apps, you don't have to be an admin. That's a really good question. Can you actually explicitly deny an app? That's something we've had a lot of feedback from a number of customers on. Unfortunately, today we don't provide the ability to create a block list of applications in the Windows Store. I know a lot of people looking at kind of educational environments where they're deploying PCs out to children, they might want to have a set list of apps in the Windows Store that those students can install. And unfortunately, today we don't have that capability. But yeah, we have heard a lot of feedback on that. Yeah. Yeah, providing third-party updates. That can be done through the software distribution process. And if I get time, I'll come on to show you that. But I have got a lot to run through. So let me skip back to the deck now. Oh, my expenses app failed to install. That's sad. Worked earlier. Demos. Yeah. Right. Slide deck. So moving on to kind of the mobile device side of things. As I mentioned, we do Windows RT, Windows Phone, and iOS devices with direct management. So we talk directly to the management agents that are on those platforms by default, and then we support Android as well. And today, the Android management is actually via Exchange Active Sync policy. There's such variety of the Android platforms, and every OEM has their own security settings and policies that it's very difficult for us to address that, but it is something we do want to get to manage them directly. But today, Android is just via Exchange Active Sync policy. But we have this direct management on Windows RT, Windows Phone, and iOS. And the list there just kind of goes through the things we can do. So enabling the users to enroll their devices over the air through either a control panel app on Windows Phone, Windows RT, or through a website for iOS. The user can just go and enter their credentials and get enrolled there. We have the inventory capability, so similar to the PC, we can pull back the information about what kind of hardware and software is out there. Again, settings management, application deployment, and the corporate data protection I mentioned. So in terms of kind of the end user experience, we have the self-service experience, and you've seen the Windows 8 company portal there. We have the same kind of experience on Windows RT as well with that modern application style company portal. We also have company portal for Windows Phone and iOS that I'll show you shortly. In fact, the screenshots there of them. So on iOS and Android, today it is a web page that you go to. In the next wave that's coming, aligned with the R2 releases, we're actually going to switch to a company portal application for iOS as well, so there'll be a native app that gets installed on the device that you go to for your management needs. And as I said, Windows Phone and Windows RT have these company portals. So let me show you those on the devices themselves. Let's start with my RT device. That's not my RT device. There we go. So here's my Surface RT. Happily scroll about the screen. So first thing I just wanted to show is if I search for company apps and hit settings, there's a control panel item that we can launch here. And this is the entry point for someone to enroll their Windows RT device. This device is already enrolled, but if it wasn't, it would prompt me for my email address and password for Windows Intune. It would then go off and enroll the device for management there. We've also got the link to go and install what's called the management app. That's the company portal for self-service. Now, one thing I just wanted to point out is if you saw the keynote on Monday morning, Molly did the demo where she did workplace join and enrollment of a device using Windows 8.1. With Windows 8.1, we've actually moved what is a traditional classic desktop control panel app there. We've moved it into the modern control panel, so a much better experience for the end users. They can just swipe through the modern control panel and get to the enroll for management option there. So this is on Windows 8 Surface, you're seeing this classic one. So that's how you actually go and enroll your device. And similar to my Windows 8 PC, I've got the portal here, the company portal for Windows RT as well. So that was briefly Windows RT. I will now switch over to this device. There we go. Takes a second, but it comes up. So this is my iPhone that's sitting here, and again, I've actually been and enrolled this device. And just to show you it's enrolled. If I go into my general settings, down the bottom, we've got a management profile installed on the device. So we don't have a management client that you have to install on iPhone. We talk Apple's own management APIs to manage the iPhone devices. So there's nothing for the end user to install on the device. They can just go and hit the website and enroll their device, and we bring down this management profile that's part of the Apple experience there. So this device, as I said, is already enrolled. And as part of the enrollment, it put a shortcut on the home screen here for the company portal. So if I go and launch that, it'll take me off to a web-based experience for my self-service needs. It's going to prompt me to log in, because again, the credentials will have timed out by now. And just to save my password from public display, I'm just going to pop that out. I learned once that I should not show my password in public. So let me plug this back in. And hopefully we'll come back up on the screen. There we go, we're back. So I hit sign in. That goes and authenticates my credentials. And as I mentioned, if I was using ADFS and directory synchronization, I could use corporate credentials, but I'm having to use my onmicrosoft.com credential here. But simple login, and then I've got the ability to go in and kind of get applications. I can see what apps have been provisioned to me. Here I've got the expenses app, so I can go and just pull this up and hit install. So this is installing my line of business iOS application that we've developed directly onto my device. So that will come down. Hopefully we'll see it in a moment pop up, and it'll say installing, just as if you were installing an app from the iTunes store. Looks like it's going to take a little while, so we'll skip that bit for now, and I'll just skip over to... Oh, that's going to tell us we're going to install. Yay. Yeah. Can we enforce passwords, passcodes, timeouts, and things? Yes, we can. I'm going to come into the settings piece on the IT Pro side, so in the console in a little bit, so I'll show you where all that can be set up, but you can do this whole security policy piece. So there's my expenses application coming down and being installed on my iPhone. If I skip back to my laptop here, there we go. I've actually got a Windows Phone emulator running on my laptop here, hence it says fake GSM network. It's not a live real device, but it does the job for demos for me. This device, again, is enrolled. So if I go into my start menu on my Windows Phone and down to settings, hidden down the bottom of the settings, we have this company apps option. If I go in here, it tells me I'm already enrolled, and from here I can see the details of the enrollment, when it last connected. I can remove my device from enrollment if I choose, and I'll come on to talk about what that means in a little while. Or I can make it go and talk to the server immediately from here. If I wasn't already enrolled, I'd get the same kind of experience where I'd be prompted for my email address and my password, enter those, it would go and enroll me for management in Windows Intune. So if I go back to my start menu here, in fact, the home screen, I've got the company portal down the bottom of here. I can enter my, if I actually put the cursor in the right place. Enter my email address. Once more, the super secret password. There you go. You see, you know it now. It's a tricky one. And this will load up my company portal here. So if I go and look at the apps I've got here, I can see, again, the same kind of thing. I've got line of business apps that have been set up to be deployed to my device, and I've got apps that are in the Windows Phone store, so this deep linking of applications. So I can quite happily go and request one of these apps and go and actually hit it to install direct down to my device. So a very simple experience, regardless of what platform you're on, a familiar experience if somebody changes from one device to the other. They've got the same kind of way of getting hold of their apps, getting enrolled, getting in, and getting hold of their line of business apps. So simple user experience there. So let me switch back to my slide deck and on with the presentation. So I mentioned I do have some tables in here that are a bit like eye charts that give you details of all the capabilities. It is important to note that what we can do with each of the device platforms does depend on what the platform enables us to do. So I've got these little tables that just summarize what we can and can't do with the various platforms. So for your reference, they'll be in the slide decks that'll be published up on Channel 9. Mobile device inventory. I've already mentioned the inventory side of things with the PCs. We have the same capability on the mobile devices. One important thing I want to mention is for software inventory, we only pull back information about the software that we've deployed to the devices. We've come across many customers, particularly in areas like Europe, where there are huge privacy concerns about enterprises managing personal devices and getting access to everything that's on a personal device. So we actually only pull back the inventory information about apps that we've pushed out to the device. If you're using Configuration Manager with Windows Intune, we actually have a new ability in there where you could flag that a device is personal or corporate. Then if it's a corporate-owned device, you could pull back the full inventory because you don't have those privacy concerns. Unfortunately, Windows Intune, as yet, doesn't have that capability. Another little eye chart here just to kind of illustrate some of the inventory properties that we can pull back. And as I said, it depends on what the platform enables for us. So things like some of the platforms we can't pull back various bits of these attributes like storage space. But we try and pull back whatever we can based on the APIs given to us. Settings management. So this kind of leads on to the question we had earlier about kind of pins and passcodes. Can we apply those? Yep, we've got the capability here to actually go and set some security policies. We can actually do it through both the direct management and Exchange Active Sync. Ideally, we don't want two things managing a device because you could get into a conflict of policies, and generally a device would choose to pick the most secure setting, but of course you can't guarantee that. So we do recommend that you only manage through one place if possible. So set everything up in Intune and it will quite happily take care of all your device management there. You don't need to set the same policy in Exchange if those devices are also connecting to Exchange. I'll come on to talk a little bit more about Exchange in a moment. In terms of kind of how we manage these devices, I said Android does get managed via Exchange policy, and I'll touch on that shortly, but that does mean we can also manage policy for other Exchange ActiveSync enabled devices. So if you do have some Windows Phone 7 or some old Windows mobile devices or the Symbian devices that support Exchange ActiveSync, you could actually control the security policies for those as well. Can we require if they hook up to EAS to go to Intune? We can actually say that they can't connect to Exchange unless they've enrolled in Intune. And we can suck the information out of Exchange of which devices have connected so we can report back those that aren't Intune enrolled. So we can't force them. If they're Exchange enrolled but not Intune enrolled, we can't force them to Intune, but we can give you a level of reporting on that. Can we enable BitLocker on BitLocker-enabled devices? I don't believe we can. I don't think we have that as one of our security settings today. So here's a kind of list of some of the capabilities we have. For the mobile devices, we can switch on encryption, but that's encryption of like the storage card and the mobile platforms. It's not PC BitLocker-style encryption. And again, this kind of goes to the point of we can do the things the platform enables us to do. So there's certain things we can do on iOS that we can't actually do on Windows Phone, unfortunately, and vice versa. For iOS, it's the native Active Sync restrictions. There's actually a few more. It's Active Sync plus a small set more. Do we do any of the Apple MDM? We do a small subset of it with Windows Intune. If you want deeper device management, that's where Configuration Manager would come into play. Configuration Manager will give you more policy control than Windows Intune standalone would give you. Okay. I mentioned kind of the application management side. I'm going to show you in the console shortly where we set this up, but I just wanted to pull out that we support the apps across all four device platforms, mobile device platforms. So the APX files for Windows, Windows RT, the ZAP files for Windows 8, IPAs for iOS, and APKs for Android. And for all four platforms, we can link through to the appropriate stores. So if you've got an app you want to recommend in the Google Play Store for your Android users, you can quite happily give them a link to the store within their company portal. And again, another just eye chart that just summarizes that for you. So let me show you how that all takes place in the admin console. If I start down in settings where I already am, we've got this mobile device management capability. This is where you kind of set up who is going to do the mobile device management. We've got it set to Windows Intune here. If you're using Configuration Manager and you hook up the Windows Intune connector, it would tell you here that Configuration Manager is the authority and will not actually give you the mobile device capabilities here because you'll do it all through the Config Manager console. But then we have the ability to go and manage each of the platforms and the capabilities, the requirements that you need to meet. So, for instance, if I go into iOS, let me open that up. We have to use what's called an APNS certificate, the Apple Push Notification Service Certificate. That's a certificate that you get from Apple. It doesn't cost anything. You just need an iTunes account to actually, or you need an Apple ID to go and request and download the certificate. You upload it into here. The device will then trust you when your commands come because they'll come with that certificate. So there are a few little requirements you need to do just to kind of set up each platform so that the devices trust your instructions there. We've got Microsoft Exchange down here as an option. I mentioned that we can do some stuff around Exchange. We actually have this capability called the Exchange Connector. We have a tool here that you can download. So if you want to manage your Android devices or other EAS devices, or if you want to find out what's connected to Exchange, you can download this connector, run it on a machine in your environment, and it can talk to your Exchange server. It can also talk to hosted Exchange in Office 365 if you're using that. So policy settings can go up to Exchange through that, and we can pull information back from Exchange into Intune about the devices that are connected to Exchange. And a new item that we've added in the past month or so is this service-to-service connector. So if you're using Office 365 Exchange, you now don't have to deploy the connector software on a PC in your environment. You can just set it up so the Intune service will talk directly to the Office 365 service. Kind of nice ability if you're using both of the subscription services there. So let's jump back to the software node. And we'll look at the software we've got set up here. So this is my catalog of applications that I've got available for my PCs and my mobile devices. And you can see we've got a whole variety here that you can see the expense app at the top of the list here is my line of business app for iOS. We also have the deep linked apps. So for instance, Link and Skype are apps that could appear on my device as links to the iTunes store. And we also have all the other platforms in here as well. So if I was to just go and add software, this will fire up a little wizard that allows me to go through and create the software package for deployment. It's going to ask me to sign in again. And here we can say, okay, we're going to install software or we're going to provide the user a link to the appropriate app store. And so you select the type there, and then you just tell it what it is, what platform it's for. So if you wanted to go and install an APK file, you could quite happily just go and grab that, just drop the file name, file path in there, and it would upload it into the service so it's sitting there ready for deployment. Similarly, with the external links, you go and just give it a URL to the app store, to where the app is in the app store, and there's some documentation on TechNet that talks you through how to get that URL for each of the various app stores. So you just do that. It uploads that information into Windows Intune. The next thing you need to do, if I just exit out of that wizard, let's pick Wikipedia, is go and actually deploy this out. So here you get to go and say, okay, I've got this app package I've created. I'm going to send it out to this group of users. So it might be the demo team here. So you go and just select those, go through to the next page and say, we're going to make this an available install and finish that off. So that will now set that up in the company portal for the users in that group to see the app, to go and get it either from the App Store or directly from Windows Intune itself. So then the final node that I wanted to show you. Where are we going? Policy, that's the one I wanted. Couldn't see it for looking. So policy is the ability to do the security settings management, both for the mobile devices and the PCs. And if I go in here, we've got a handful that are already set up. There are some things we can do, like the Intune center settings, so what you want to make available to your users through that little control panel-like app that I mentioned. We can also configure the Windows firewall on PCs, so if you want to make sure that your users have the firewall turned on and set appropriately, we can do that there. We've also got these mobile device policies. I'm actually going to go ahead and create a new mobile device policy here. And we'll create it as a custom one. Give it the name of demo. I can now go through and kind of just set from a simple list the policies that I want to apply. So do I want to have a password on the device? Is it going to be numeric or text? How long is it going to be? Am I going to allow simple things? The kind of usual Exchange Active Sync style policy settings. We then get into other things like detailed policies, like are we going to allow the picture password on Windows RT? It might be that we don't actually like our users using that, so we're going to turn that one off. Then we have device restrictions around here. So you could actually do things like blocking the camera, blocking the web browser on devices, and then also things like platform-specific settings. So do we want to block the access to the iCloud on iOS devices? So we could actually go and turn that on. So if the PCs are domain joined, can you use Intune to transfer GPOs to the devices? No. If a PC is domain joined, it would still need to talk to the domain controllers for group policy. Does that make sense? Okay. We don't do anything fancy like sucking group policy settings into here or anything like that, because group policy wouldn't map directly to what we do here. So that's the simple way of kind of just setting up basic policy, and then we can just save that policy and choose who we want to deploy it to. So we can go and select the demo team, perhaps, and deploy this policy out, which will then force the password policy and the things I've set down to these devices. I'm going to cancel out of that, otherwise I'll forget to undo it next time. But again, very simple way of getting that policy set down to the devices. So that was settings management. Let me flick back to my presentation again. Corporate data protection. If you're looking for extensive corporate data protection, if you're working in a particularly sensitive environment, there are many technologies that we provide at Microsoft for helping with that. In particular, I talk to a lot of customers about the idea of actually restricting what lands on the devices in the first place. And one of the key things we talk about there is the ability to do virtualization. So giving people a virtual view into their app rather than allowing data to live on the device themselves. We're actually finding that a lot of customers are looking towards that when they're talking high business impact information, whereas the approach in the past used to be, we need to get everything to the device. Ooh, now how do we secure that device? So I do encourage people to think very carefully about the data that's actually going out to the devices and what's appropriate for them. So virtualization is one approach. Another approach is using rights management. So we have technologies in Windows Server 2012 that do things like enable rights management by default according to a certain list of rules. And I know there are other sessions this week that are talking about things like that. But in a nutshell, the ability to scan a file when it's saved to a file share, and if there's certain key phrases or certain information in those documents, automatically apply rights management to it. So if that document does get taken on a thumb drive or put down onto a device, the user's going to need to authenticate to open up the rights management before they can get access to that document. So it is important to think about how the information gets out and onto the devices and whether you can restrict it, block it, or actually tie it down in some way like rights management. In terms of kind of the mobile device management side of things, there's two options we have for devices to protect the data above and beyond that. The first is what happens when a device is no longer needed, for corporate access, or the user's left the company and they need to remove the corporate data from their device. And we refer to that as retirement, the idea that the corporate management will be taken off the device, the corporate apps and data need to be removed from the device as well. The device remains intact, the personal data remains on it, but the corporate data gets removed. So that's retirement there. And we can do that across PCs and the mobile devices there. The other option is the wipe, and that's the full factory reset. So the ability to take something like an iPhone, and let's say it's been lost, send a remote kill signal to it, which will wipe the device back to the factory defaults. So you know all your corporate data has been wiped off it, but of course all personal data will be wiped off it as well. For Windows Phone and iOS, that is a complete factory wipe. If you do that wipe using Android, it will actually use Exchange Active Sync to do the wipe, which will just be a mailbox removal, unfortunately. That's a limitation we have with the platform there. So again, another little eye chart, which kind of just goes through the exact feature map there and what gets removed by what. So looking kind of down the column on the left is, do we remove the device from Intune? Do we remove it from Exchange? What do we do about sideloading keys? That's the key that's put down on the device to enable sideloaded apps for Windows RT and Windows Enterprise and Pro. What do we do with applications that are installed or whether new apps can be installed? Unfortunately, there's some things like with Android, we can't actually block the installation of new apps if we just do a retirement. So often for Android, a wipe is going to be the best option there. In terms of the kind of the full wipe, again, do we remove the mailbox? Do we remove the data? We've just got a table here that highlights the differences across the various platforms. So to recap kind of the features of what we can do, we have the over-the-air enrollment for RT, Windows Phone, and iOS. That's where we do the direct management, and the user will go into the control panel or the web browser to enable management of the device, to enroll it. For Android, as I mentioned, it's through Exchange Active Sync, so there's no actual active enrollment that an Android user goes through. We just use Exchange to get that. Inventory, settings management, software distribution is across all four platforms. And then the remote wipe capability we can do across Windows Phone, iOS, and Android, but unfortunately not Windows RT yet. So I just kind of wanted to highlight the licensing side of things because we get a lot of questions about this. The top one, if you don't have Configuration Manager today, there's two options for licensing Windows Intune. All the licensing is per user, per month pricing, and enables the user to have, as I said, up to five devices with their license. But the top option, if you don't have Configuration Manager today, you can get a license for $6, which enables you to use Windows Intune. It does actually include the Configuration Manager license as well. So if you're going to look to deploy Configuration Manager at some point, you'll already be licensed for it there. And then kind of the second option on that top one is with Windows Enterprise included as well. So if you want to get a Windows license so your user can have Windows on a PC, for $11 a month, you can include that Windows Enterprise SA license in there as well. And then the bottom one, if you've already got Configuration Manager and you want to add the Windows Intune piece, so that's using the Intune connector, which I didn't really cover today, but we'll be talking about tomorrow. We just have this bolt-on license. So you're already licensed for Configuration Manager if you've got Configuration Manager and are using it. So there's just a small bolt-on that we have to license you for Intune use as well. So that's kind of the licensing side, and I know we do get a lot of questions about how that works normally. So I just kind of wanted to finish off with some hints as to where we're going in the future. We're not doing a full disclosure on Windows Intune in terms of kind of the kind of disclosure we've done with the R2 products for Configuration Manager and Windows Server. But there's a few things I just wanted to point out that are coming down the pipeline. We have the ability to enable alerts and monitoring on Windows 8. There's a limited amount you can do in Intune today with Windows 8 due to changes that were made between Windows 7 and Windows 8 in terms of the health monitoring, but we are fixing that really, really soon. I mentioned the service-to-service connector for Office 365 Exchange. That's actually now live already. So that one made it onto the list of available things before I got to edit my presentation. Then kind of future stuff that's coming down in the next few months, we will have Windows 8.1 support coming. So when Windows 8.1 hits the market, you'll be able to manage it with Windows Intune just as you would a Windows 8 PC. Windows Phone 8 trial support is an interesting one. If you want to manage and deploy applications to Windows Phone 8, you require a code signing certificate. The Windows Phone 8 developer program requires you get this code signing certificate from Symantec, which has a fee associated with it. Unfortunately, that caused a lot of pain for a number of our customers who were looking to trial Windows Phone 8 management. They didn't want to quite commit to buying a certificate yet until they knew it met their needs. So what we're actually going to do is we're going to have a tool that will enable you to deploy some Windows Phone 8 settings and some test applications so you can see the experience with Windows Phone and make sure it meets your needs before having to spend any money on the code signing cert there. We actually have that tool already available if you're using Configuration Manager. It's downloadable from Microsoft.com. It'll be coming for the Intune standalone service shortly. And then the last two points on the bottom are just some key features that people have been asking for to make the end user experience a bit better. One is around the Endpoint Protection Client. By default, we install the Endpoint Protection Client, the anti-malware piece, alongside the Windows Intune client. You can choose whether it's actually enabled or not, so you could have it installed but not be using it. Some of our customers have come back and said they really don't like that. They want it to actually not be installed at all. So we've got the option coming to say you can install the Intune client but keep the Endpoint Protection Client off those devices because perhaps another third-party anti-malware solution is being used there. And then the final one, the agent upgrade control, is the ability to have better control over how the Intune agent gets updated on the device. We've had some challenges in the past where we've required a reboot, and the users have found that a little inconsiderate. So we're putting some controls there about whether we force a reboot or require a reboot within a certain time frame. So that's going to be coming to the service soon. So just to kind of round off, we have the usual slides that you get in every TechEd session. Here's our list of related sessions. So these are the Configuration Manager and Mobile Device Management sessions that you might want to check out. Some have already been and gone, so you'll have to check out the recordings and decks on Channel 9, and then there's a few more happening later this week. Usual track resources slide, go and check out all the great links. Do we have customers that are using this product just to manage iPhone? We have a number of customers that are using it just for PCs, and we have a number of customers that are using it for various mobile devices. I don't know if anyone's using it for just iPhone. There's no reason why they couldn't. I just don't know of any particular examples. Most people are looking at a variety of device platforms when they're looking at Intune.
Are they planning to support server eventually?
Are we planning to support server eventually? That sounds like a little loaded question. We don't have server support in there today, and we've not announced anything about server support coming, so I have nothing I can actually share on that front, I'm afraid. This is just client-based, correct? It is Windows PC clients and the mobile device clients. Correct. We don't do server management with Windows Intune today. Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. I should have mentioned that when I was talking about the setup. You can use the same tenant that you're using for Office 365 for Windows Intune. So one dir-sync process, syncing up to the Windows Azure AD, you can use that for Windows Intune as well as Office 365. I don't believe it is at this point. I don't believe we support Okta. I just want to say thank you to those of you that were here, and I'll turn my mic off and take other questions directly up here if that's okay.